Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi, it's Lois. Just a quick note to say that if you're a person with a disability who is wanting to achieve a goal and would like some help with that, then stay tuned after today's interview and I'll try and help you in that area. Right, let's dive into today's episode. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Strachan, and today we're chatting to Erin Richmond, who is the host and the power behind the Erin's Opinion podcast, a show that I had the privilege of guesting on a little while back. Erin, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And hello there to all the great listeners of Lois Strachan's podcast. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here as always. So Lois, what would you like to know? Go right ahead.
Ah, well, I've got a whole range of questions dig a little more into your show and a little bit more about you as a person. And maybe that's the best place for us to start.
I agree.
So, can you just briefly give us a sketch of who is Erin Richmond?
Well, me.
Tell us a bit about your story.
Sure, absolutely. Well, me as a person, I'm a 32-year-old American living in the universe, somewhere on planet Earth, who knows. I was born 32 years ago, Washington, D.C. I grew up in a very, very rural, small community in the state of Maryland. I have lived and continue to live with my parents. I've lived with my family my entire life. And sometimes my brother lives with us too. My academics are in the field of international relations. And I'm also a French speaker. Je parle français. Bonjour à tous. And I can tell you that, when I was in university, I felt that I was really never interested in what I was studying. And then when I got out, I had this, idea, I love podcasting. I love talking to people. Why don't I become a teacher? And teaching English online is what I do for my work. And that's, that's my job. And then during the time that I was doing all that teaching, because I'm sure you're going to ask, well, how did you create what lit the fire under your ass to create the podcast in the first place, which I'll tell you, is that I was spending a lot of time teaching. And when I wasn't with students, I was listening to podcasts around the blindness community. And you know what, Lois? I felt that these podcasts just were not open enough to my opinions. And I am a very opinionated person, and I'm not afraid to admit it. And so I wanted to create a space where other people, like Lois, can come up to my microphone and share their life journey and talk about whatever's on their mind and whatever they want to get off their chest about the universe. So about 4 years ago now, roughly around this time of the year, I created Erin's Opinion, and here we are. That's me.
And your show, you're really, I wish I was as active in terms of podcasting as you are, in terms of the number of episodes you brought out, the number of guests that you've chatted to. It really is remarkable what you've achieved in that time. But, you mentioned that you developed this interest in listening to podcasts. What sparked that interest? How did it all start?
Sure. Like I said, I didn't tell you this. So let's go back to more about my health. Actually, when I was born, the moment that I came out, from my birth, the doctor looked into my eyes as a instant 3 second old baby and said, Miss Richmond, your boy's eyes, they're all covered in white. They're all white. He can't see anything. And so from that moment forward, from the 2nd of July, 1991, my parents would spend an enormous amount of time going back and forth to hospital when I was a, from the time that I was an infant to the time that I was roughly 5.5 years old, we lived in a, in what is now, I guess, a medium-sized city in the state of Virginia, sort of near Washington, D.C., and where they would drive from our home then to hospital. And during that time in the United States, there were several prolific talk show hosts who we would they would listen to. So basically, I've been involved in actively listening to talk radio and podcasts from day one of my life. And I always just loved being read to as a child. My mother would tell you all sorts of stories about, well, the first main book that I read, Aaron, was Harry Potter, right? And then from there, I developed a love for listening to the audio narration of Harry Potter then when it came out. And then from there, I fell in love with podcasting, you know, from a very, very young age. You know, obviously, I didn't start out listening to, you know, my great idols, you know, Joe Rogan and Lex Fridman and Jordan Harbinger, all of whom I tremendously look up to, and all of their shows I just love. They're all doing incredible stuff in the world. But ever since, you know, ever since I was born, my ear was tuned to the frequency of creating content. And so I've always been interested in it. And then I just always love to talk to people and use my voice. So it just really, you know, easily, you know, more easily fell into place for me in some regards. So that's where it comes from. So it came from day one, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's a really interesting kind of origin story for your love of audio.
It's true. But it's a true yeah. origin story too. No, it's a true one.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. So take us through the early days of the Aaron's Opinion podcast. Well, how did you get started and
sure.
build up your listenership, decide on the format of the show? Mm-hmm. How did that all come about?
Well, it came about from my imagination. Like I said, I thought, well, Aaron has a lot of opinions. So I said, well, why don't we just type out a title there? Aaron's Opinion, you know, push enter, you know, save and off to the races, you know. But what I was really also noticing, and I'm sure that you notice it too over there, and I'm sure Latabo will tell you the same thing, being in a lot of Facebook groups for blind people, you see a lot of strange questions and a lot of interesting questions. So Lois, what I would do is I would take a question that someone would ask. So for instance, 4 years ago, let's say that a Lois came up in a Facebook group and said, hey, everybody, I want to start a podcast. Can anyone help me? What I would do is I would like the post in the Facebook group, and then I would push the message button, and I would basically send an audio file back to Lois. Hi, Lois. Today, I want to talk to you about starting a podcast. Well, thank you for asking. Here's how to do it. And then from there, it just kind of occurred to me that, you know what? I'm actually creating an audio file, and I actually have a listener. And when you put the two together, it's a podcast. And I was like, you know, that just kind of came up on its own. That just kind of developed. You said something interesting that I want to definitely pivot back towards, which is that you're impressed with the number of episodes and the number of interviews that I've conducted. And I appreciate it from my heart to yours. I humbly accept that compliment. Also, Lois, you yourself should never be discouraged by the number of episodes or the number of people you interview. You should only be motivated by the quality of the interview that you'd actually put out. So it's mostly about how much does Lois care about me? In other words, how much can I feel how much you care? In other words, when I see that you take ownership of the content, when I see that you care about the content, that's actually the listenership that you want. So it's not about the number. It's about, well, how much did you actually care about that interview? And people secretly notice that. And people really, really noticed that. That's just a clear distinction. But that's how it all got, how it all began. And then over time, I just kept going around the blindness community until I practiced certain things, you know, developing my Facebook group, my email list, my this, my that, you know, all of these little ingredients, these little spices, right? These little spices in the recipe, you know, I had to practice them for 4 years until I got my recipe right. You know, it's not easy. It's extremely difficult. You know, why do you think most podcasts do not exceed 8 episodes? Because most people aren't that patient. So that's what it's about. It's about being patient and taking ownership of your content and then working on little ways for people to connect with you afterwards. That's what it's about.
I love the concept of it really being about the amount which you show you care about the listener. and the value that you're offering? Because I think that is fundamentally so much part of so many different fields, and particularly fields where we use speaking. You know, if you're up on stage as a speaker as well, it's about the value that you are offering to the listener, the message that you can bring across that is going to help them to see their worlds a little bit differently and just kind of live a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
So I want to just take a slight, not a slight sidestep, but it's kind of just digging into one particular aspect of your show, which really does fascinate me. The decision to, I don't know, did you start it as a recorded show and then move into a live show, or has it always been a live show where you invite people to attend and participate and be part of the, mm-hmm. the program?
Absolutely. So for one thing, that's mostly about me learning and mastering the Zoom software. So as I learned how to master Zoom better, certain things started to occur to me where I just learned that, hey, you know, I can live stream this on my YouTube channel and then maybe get more views, you know, or, hey, by the way, if you mute all upon entry in the guest panel, that means that you can have an audience sitting there watching, you know. So I had to learn these things, you know, kind of as I went along. I found that there's not a huge amount of difference as far as the retention and as far as the actual engagement of the content, whether it's live or pre-recorded, because the public now seems to view it all the same way. I don't have enough of a following to be able to go live and have a full audience down there, you know, or a full audience in my Zoom room when I do record, which, by the way, I wish I would. If you want to be in my Zoom recording, Lois, please be the next person in there. I'm definitely going to let you in. I'm not stopped. By the way, I just want to throw this out there. Like I tell people around my community here at Aaron's Opinion, even in my groups or wherever you are, it would take a lot for me to take down content and to tell you that you can't say something in my group. It would take a lot for me to remove someone from my group. Have I done those things before a couple of times once a year? Yes, but it's very unusual. So I want you to know, Lois, and I want you as the listener there at home in South Africa or wherever you like to listen to Lois to know that I am as open as I can be, in that you should always be ready to sit in my audience. But the fact is, yeah, that decision to go from one to the other, I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't really have that much of an impact, at least for me. It's not actually changing the content one way or the other, because just the other day I was speaking with our great friend Michael, and he didn't have enough data or something was wrong with his phone, and he couldn't, when he entered, somehow when he entered the live stream, his data got stuck and then he got disconnected. So we said, okay, well, why don't we just do it, just pre-record it? And still people joined. I think someone did try to join. Maybe it was the top, or maybe not. But, you know, that's that decision. But I'm glad that you are that interested in that. And also, it's doesn't impact the content as much as you think it would. Yeah.
I can understand that because, you know, your show is very engaged. You are very engaged with your guests. And it flows kind of along the form of a conversation. So whether it's going out in the moment or going out as a recording after the fact, it doesn't change that content. But give us a little bit more information, mm-hmm. then. Who is your show aimed at? Who should be listening?
Well, who is it aimed at, or who should be listening? Those are two different groups of people.
Spill the beans.
I also am very sarcastic, and I love to kid around. I love to joke around with people. Well, who should be listening? Well, if you ask Aaron's opinion, it is an opinion show, and in my opinion, everybody should be listening. But not everybody does. I would say that the majority of my audience are blind people, or people with disabilities, or sighted people, or really anyone. So my show is, of course, aimed at the blind, right? Because as you guys hear in my intros, I say, you know, this is Aaron's Opinion, the podcast where we speak about critical issues in the blindness community. So I would say analytically, it is kind of pointed at blind people, but I encourage the world to listen. I'm certainly not going to prevent a sighted person from listening or really anyone. So who is it aimed for? Well, blind people. Who should be listening? Well, anyone who cares and wants to listen to a great conversation.
That sounds fair enough. And yeah. I don't think there's really that much distinction between the two groups, but I do understand the distinction that you're drawing there. Okay, so next pretty obvious question from there is, where do you find your guests? How do you make that initial connection to the people who then come onto your show?
I have found that the guests primarily are coming from basically my network, which is one of the skills of a podcaster. You have to build up a network of other people who care and share your values. And those tend to be the guests. I find a lot of people through Facebook groups, but a lot of mutual connections. You know, hey, Aaron, go talk to this guy. Hey, Aaron, you should go talk to this person and put them on your show. So that's how I typically find guests that way, just through building the relationship and the rapport with the public. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, again, that goes back to another one of those fundamental laws. You know, we're out creating content, and like so many industries as well, it is often based on the relationship that you're building with people, the connection that you have with people as you reach out and create. And, you know, it's kind of one of those truisms.
Absolutely.
Do you have repeat visitors? I mean, repeat guests, or
yes,
kind of a
yes, I do. I do have repeat offenders, and these are some of the great people who I find sometimes one episode's not enough, or they want to come back and talk about a specific topic. I do find most people only come once, but we've had several repeat offenders over the years who've contributed great amounts of content. Sure.
I'm also curious, you know, you mentioned right up front that you are a teacher.
Right.
To what extent do you think that teaching, being a teacher, has impacted the way that you engage?
Because teachers, sure. Because teachers are people who should care, and I care about other people. And that's what podcasting is. Podcasting is the art of communicating a message that shows someone else that you care. And that's the connection that I'm able to draw. Of course, my vocal ability, my speaking ability, my ability to have a conversation, which is a huge ability to have, that many people are not blessed with this ability to have a voice and to be able to control their voice. It's a lot to control your breathing, to control your voice, to think about what you want to say all at once. You know, a lot of people are not, some people are not able to do that. And that's okay. But I think the true connection is that teachers are people who care. And I create Aaron's Opinion because I care.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think teaching, and as you say, I mean, just showing that you care, you helping people to develop, to be able to show up and to be themselves in the way that they choose. That's kind of all interlinked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's about being positive too. The positivity of podcasting is also immensely fascinating too. Yeah.
Yeah. So where can people actually find Aaron's Opinion as a show?
Anywhere you get a podcast. We're going to say click the link in the description. But of course, we're on all the podcasts, all the main distributors for podcasting for sure. Mm-hmm.
You're also out there on YouTube.
Right.
The show is out there.
So, right. So that's, you know, at Aaron's Opinion TV on YouTube. And basically, that's the video of each of the interviews. So I don't do video intros or video outros. So I think a lot of people, though, would say that if you just want the interview, then go to the YouTube. But if you want the full podcast experience with my explanations and my intros, outros, then you should listen to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Well, that's how you can find the show. But if someone's listening to this who kind of goes, oh, wow, I would love the opportunity to be a guest on Aaron's Opinion.
Sure.
How can they reach
out to you? They should reach out primarily by email. Again, I'll put it in the description for you, but aaronsopinion6@gmail.com. They can also join the public Facebook group, Aaron's Opinion Podcasting Community. They can also just send me a message on the page, Aaron's Opinion Podcast. They could also, and I do heavily recommend this because it's an easy way to automatically know what's going on at Aaron's Opinion. They could also join my email list. So I can specifically, now I'm not going to take the time to say the address out loud just right this second because it's kind of complicated to say it, but I can put it in the description. So for those of you listening who want to be on my email list and want to know instantly when I put out the next episode or you want to get in touch, that would actually be the easiest way to do it, is just join the email list and contact me that way. Yeah.
Well, I think that would be one way to know. And another way would be to follow the podcast on your, you know, whatever podcast player.
Sure. And then commenting below on YouTube would do it too. Yeah. Some people comment on the videos. That's another way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you for that. Okay, then. Well, as a final question, what's in the future for Aaron Richmond and for the Aaron's Opinion Show?
Well, the future is that we're going to keep podcasting. That's the future. We're going to keep connecting with people and keep building out more interviews. So that's the future. And outside of that, you know, outside of my relatively stable podcasting and life that I live in my own life, I don't, you know, the other question is, I don't really know, but I do know that the future involves a lot of interviews and a lot of podcasting.
Great. And we will definitely keep viewing those feeds and catch some of your episodes as and when they come out.
Always welcome.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us on A Different Way of Seeing. It's been really fantastic to learn a little bit more about you and about Aaron's Opinion, the podcast. And yeah, hopefully we'll get a few more listeners coming your way once they hear what you have to offer them.
Excellent.
Hi, it's Lois again. I'm not certain if you know, but I am a coach who works specifically with people with disabilities. If you have a disability and are wanting to achieve your goals, or maybe think through some of the challenges that you're facing in your professional or personal life, or want to take up a new opportunity, a new adventure, but just don't seem to be able to get to doing it, let's explore how I can help you. Hop onto the Contact Me form on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. That's Lois Strachan, LOISSTRACHAN.com. And sign up for a 30-minute discovery call so we can chat to see if I am the right person to help you to achieve your goals. Contact me now for that free 30-minute discovery call on loisstrachan.com. I'd love to have the opportunity of helping you to achieve your goals.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We'd love to connect with you, so find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.